Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come unto Thee in thankfulness for this opportunity to meet, to open Your Word, and to practice Your presence, Heavenly Father. Trust that Your words would be spoken, and same time that You'd open up the eyes of our understanding, help us to be able to comprehend these deeper things of Your love and the love of Christ. We ask these things in our Lord's very gracious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I think the song pretty much summed it all up. Great is His faithfulness. For those of you that were here last year, that's what I spoke upon, was His faithfulness. We can definitely have boldness and confidence in that. And we're going to look a little bit at that verse again today. So it's beyond coincidence that we're speaking of those things. A few of us have talked upon them. Also want to look at a few things concerning our position with or in Christ today and also in the future. Everything that we have or enjoy in this new life that we've been granted is found in Christ. It's in Christ, it's by Christ, it's with Christ. We'll find that all through our hope and calling as we look at verses today. It's all about Christ and the firm foundation that we have in Him. Our whole being in the new man is founded in Him. I believe that most of us here today are familiar with Ephesians 1:4, where Paul says that according as He had chosen us in Him, there it is, in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. As most of us also know, the time of this choosing is peculiar to our hope and calling, before the catapulty. We read of other companies of believers that have been chosen since the foundation, but not any other group besides us that were marked off before the catapulting, other than when reading of our head, Christ. We need to praise God for that, because it's very serious when we think of that. Two things that I want us to remember as we go along about Ephesians 1:4, the fact that our choosing was in Him. And the second thing, probably even more important, is the factor of love. God is love, and we're going to find that in everything we look at today. Our choosing is according to His love. Without love, reconciliation would be impossible. Without Christ loving us, choosing us, coming to do what He had to do for us, reconciliation would be impossible. There's no other way that we can gain this favor with God without Christ. Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3 is that we might be able to comprehend this love that passes knowledge. And the whole prayer in Ephesians 3 of Paul is about love and power. They go hand in hand. Everything is about love, our choosing, our acceptance, and our final position in the Son of His love. I want to look a little bit now at our choosing. If you would, turn to Ephesians 1:11. I want to get a feel for what the inheritance is all about. Ephesians 1:11, we'll just read that verse. It says, in whom, that being Christ. We're going to see that all through what we look at today. It's in Him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. First thing that I want to stress in this verse here is the fact that we ourselves haven't obtained anything here. I think there's a lot of confusion sometimes about us obtaining something. This verse here has to do with God obtaining us or taking us as His inheritance. A lot of times that can be confusing. We haven't obtained anything. God has set us apart for His own purposes here. And it's all in whom? It's in Christ. He sealed us until the redemption of the purchased possession. He's promised us and He's going to follow through with it. The word inheritance found here in Ephesians 1:11 has in the original an aspect of a lot. I've spoken on it before in our local class. The lot meaning casting of lots in that sense. And it's a divine choosing is how I look at it. For another variation of that word, turn to Colossians 1:12. We see the root word used here, Colossians 1:12. We're just going to read this verse. Giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So we see here another example used of the word inheritance. That also brings out the aspect of a lot. It's a little different variation of the word like I spoke of, but it's the same root word. Kleros is the root word, and it has to do with Lot. And I want to give a little different rendering of what the verse might sound like more in the original. It's giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet for the share of the lot of the saints in the light. We've been made meet by Christ Jesus for this share of the lot. And it just so happens that it's in the light, the right hand of God. When you speak of the light, that's the Holy of Holies, nothing else. It's the right hand of our Father. We know that there are sons of darkness. We need to stress that we're the children of light. So if you look at a lot, you see maybe some lots cast, there's one, I look at it as one seed and another seed. The light, the darkness, the good, the bad, however you want to look at it, God set us apart before age times. And we're in the light. I don't think it's coincidence, but in the Old Testament, when you read of the Urim and the Thummim, they're typically translated light and perfection. I think that goes beyond what exactly I know, but somehow it ties in there, I believe. Interesting, if you ask me. Now I want to look a little bit more at our acceptance. Remember back in Ephesians 1:4 when I asked us to remember a couple things. That first of all, that everything we have is found in Christ, by Christ, and with Christ. Secondly, was the aspect of love. Turn back now to Ephesians 1:6. We're going to look at some love that definitely passes knowledge. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. The focal point of this verse is not us at all. The focal point is the Beloved. There's only one Beloved right now, and that's our Lord Christ Jesus. He is above all. Everything has been put under His feet, and He's everything for our hope and calling. So we need to keep that in mind. It's all about Him. It's not about us. Our access or acceptance is all about the Beloved. We've been graced upon. We're objects of His grace. And somehow God is pleased in showing us this grace. It's all according to His good pleasure. The good pleasure of His will and the Beloved One. The only other one we read of being graced upon like this was Mary, the one who was chosen to carry our Lord Jesus Christ. If this is not divine choosing what we're reading of being graced upon in this matter, I don't know what is. To be put in the same company as someone who was chosen to mother our Lord Jesus Christ. This is way beyond chance, and it goes. I just want the aspect of love has to be put in everything that we're reading here, especially right now. She was definitely highly graced upon. She wasn't full of grace, as some Catholics believe. She was graced upon. She doesn't have grace in herself. It was only what God had given her, showed her favor. I am my Beloved's, and my Beloved is mine. We read that in Song of Solomon. Reminds me of the choosing that we have. As we move closer to our final position in Christ, I want to look at how we have access to this exalted position. If you would, turn with me to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, we'll read verses 13 through 22, the end of the chapter. But now, I love the but nows, the buts, in, especially in our hope and calling. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to them who were nigh. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom, in Christ, all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom, again, you are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So we see in this group of verses here that, as I spoke of, it's all in him. Everything that we have been afforded is of him, by him, and through him. In verse 13, in Christ we're made nigh. Verse 18, through him we have access. All of this equals the habitation of God, the right hand of God that we've been given access to. Now turn over to Ephesians 3. Seven through 12, we'll read. This is the verse that we're talking about in his faithfulness. And again, it's not coincidence that we're bringing this up. This is why we're all here. It's because the faith of him. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, again we have this, it's in Christ alone we have boldness and access with confidence by the faithfulness of him. Why do we have this boldness and this access, confidence? It's simply the faithfulness of him. I don't know about you guys, but I can definitely be bold and confident speaking of one thing, and that's the faithfulness of him. We alone can accomplish nothing in this world without him as our foundation. In Christ, by Christ, with Christ. We find it all through our hope and calling. What exactly does this access mean? As I said, it takes us to the right hand, to our final position that we're going to talk about. It has to do with what the Urim and the Thummim represented, light and perfection. It has to do with the light. It's a place. It's an actual place. It has to do with perfection. It has to do with the love of the Father. It has to do with truth. What Aaron had access to in type in the Old Testament once a year, we have access moment by moment to this place. That's just amazing for me to think upon. We have access to the true tabernacle, not made with hands. Able to stand holy and without blame before him in love. This is where we read of in Colossians 3 that we're hid with Christ in God. We've been risen with Him through the operation of God. I just want to look at two more verses that speak of this exalted position, this be ours in Christ. First in Philippians chapter 3. We'll read verses 20 and 21. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. For our conversation, our citizenship, our walk life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, that's Christ there, shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His body of glory, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. The one who holds all power in this universe is going to fashion these vile bodies that all of us have here into a body that's able to stand in that light. There's nothing more I can add to that. That speaks volumes. And lastly, turn to Colossians 1 again. We'll go ahead and read verses 12 and 13. We read verse 12 already, but we'll read it with verse 13. Colossians 1, 12 and 13. Giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, or His dear Son. This is the same translation, the same thing we read over in Philippians. Changing our vile body into something holy, without blame, and able to stand in the presence of God. The Beloved One. That's all I have for today, so we'll go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your good word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Where would we be without it? You've given us so much, and we just thank you for everything. Thank you for the love that we're able to share. We pray these things in our Lord's very gracious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.